Hello, so my name is Bruno Johnson. I am the chair of the Marketing and Communications Workgroup for the Open Connectivity Foundation. And I'm here today with Ralph Brown, who is a technical expert in the area of communications with over 40 years of experience, master's from MIT, and started his career at Bell Labs. Is that right, Ralph?
That's right. I was CTO there and was on the board of OCF at one point in time, but now I'm doing my own consulting and enjoying my quote-unquote retirement.
Well, wonderful to have you working with us and very interested to hear your thoughts regarding OCF Secure IP Device Framework, which is now an ISO IEC adopted standard. And be good to get your understanding of what ISO IEC standardization is and what it means.
Yeah, I'd be happy to talk about ISO IEC, and I wanted to congratulate the OCF team for reaching this milestone. ISO is the International Organization for Standards, and IEC is the International Electrotechnical Commission, who are responsible for international information technology standards, and they're recognized globally for de jure due process IT standards. So it's important because these are globally recognized as being standards set by standard-setting bodies and adopted globally. It's really key to industries to ensure that there's, you know, consistent quality, safety, and primarily interoperability of products and services. I mean, if you go back to the early days of electricity in the early 1900s, you know, for example, London had 10 different frequencies and different voltages, and you couldn't buy products that would be used safely in different areas. And so it was really necessary for the power industry to come together and develop standards to really do that. It's similar in that nature. So with OCF Secure IP Framework being adopted at ISO IEC, it's really an international agreement by technical experts to be used by developers and manufacturers in the IoT ecosystem to create secure and interoperable IoT devices. And as everybody knows, today's IoT environment is very fragmented. So pulling together these standards is really important, and solving the cybersecurity issues is even more important.
Well, that's fascinating. OCF Secure IP Device Framework is now gaining adoption as a national standard in certain countries. And it aims to be recognized as a default standard for certain areas of infrastructure in smart cities, smart building. Why is ISO IEC required for adoption at the national standard, Ralph?
As IoT becomes more adopted in public sectors, you know, public housing, smart cities, the public sector, you know, the government's going to begin assuming responsibility for that IoT infrastructure. And as a rule, you know, government agencies prefer due process de jure standards, you know, those that are endorsed by formal standard setting bodies, to really avoid proprietary lock-in and the perceptions of bias in selecting solutions. So de jure standards, particularly international ones, being adopted at the national level, really provide that level of assurance. And that way, governments can be confident that devices that are manufactured to those standards will be interoperable, will be secure, and address those kinds of concerns.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And of course, interoperability is another one of the major challenges we face. But can you provide examples of how OCF is likely to be deployed by government agencies and what you're seeing?
Sure. I mean, you know, the Koreans tend to be cutting edge in many respects, and this is no different. You can see that OCF, working with the Korean Land and Housing Corporation, it recently was announced that the Korean Land and Housing Corporation is utilizing the OCF specifications as its foundation for its national smart home platform. They look at seeing a secure and private by design IoT smart hub, you know, being deployed across all the public housing in Korea to collect and analyze, you know, big data. The real goal of the project was to enhance residents' living experiences through access to smart healthcare, intelligent safety systems, you know, greater convenience through automation and improved energy management and control. All those features that, you know, we look to IoT to try and address. And it'll include features such as built-in fine dust and CO2 sensors, you know, it'll help residents to control 15 different types of devices via an OCF compliant smart home app. And it's estimated that this platform will be used by more than 223,000 Koreans in Korean households by 2025.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And I presume that Korea has many of the societal problems that we are facing in the Western world with aging populations and access to government facilities. So prior to adopting OCF's secure IP device framework as a national standard, governments need to be sure that the technology is secure as it can be. Securing against cyber attacks is a key priority. How do you understand that OCS framework can mitigate against such security threats?
Yeah, well, when I was at Cable Labs, we always had three priorities for IoT. The first was always security, number one priority. The next one was interoperability, and that the final one was adoption. You really need to see broad adoption of these standards. So one thing I will say, OCF has a rich set of security capabilities. They generally exceed all of the existing proprietary IoT security models. And it was really intended, the core mission of OCF and the Secure IP Device Framework was to enable IoT devices and services to securely communicate through a trusted open internet protocol framework. And this framework allows for alignment to a variety of baseline IoT security and privacy regulations. There's the CTA C2 conveners, which has set its own set of baseline requirements. There's the UK IoT requirements. ETSI has some, IASME, and not least here in the United States, there's NIST 8259D, which sets some baseline requirements for security. And as I said, the OCF Secure IP Device Framework meets or exceeds all of those. It uses a public key infrastructure that's backed by strong certificate protections that really address existing IoT security concerns. It protects the sensitive data by providing unique digital identities for services, devices, and applications to ensure secure end-to-end communications. It also allows flexible trade-offs between security, strength, and cost. This was a key factor for the Korean government decision to utilize OCF in its LH project. The security of critical national infrastructure is currently lagging behind. In some part, this is due to the number of unsecure MQTT servers used. There's a lack of security in the network protocols that transport messages between IoT devices. This causes vulnerability in the infrastructure and exposes it to cyber attacks. The OCF recently published an update to its secure IP device framework and now includes OCF MQTT proxy. This essentially allows unsecured MQTT servers to be secured using the OCF's framework. And the great thing about OCF is there's an IoTivity open source reference implementation, which demonstrates how others, such as government agencies, IoT developers, and manufacturers, can implement the OCF specifications. This really bootstraps all of the manufacturers, the entire ecosystem, to implement the OCF security specifications. The code is already there. The other thing is it's just the open source nature of the OCF specifications. It's easy and effective collaboration between both private and public sector. It also increases the range of threats can be mitigated and ensures the specification can be integrated into existing systems. This was evidenced by the mass collaboration required for Korea, a national infrastructure project in conjunction with national construction companies, telcos, and domestic manufacturers of consumers and assisted living technologies.
That's fascinating. And so OCF really allows multiple organizations and stakeholders to use and adopt the technology, and there is no essentially single vendor lock-in.
Right.
So cybersecurity mandates are increasingly being put forward by governments across the world. And of course, there is a reason for that, but it'd be good if you could elaborate really why governments are doing this and why it's so important now.
You read about it every day, right? Cybersecurity threats against public and critical infrastructure increasing. Witness the cyber attacks against Ukraine and other countries, disabling their power grid and things like that. It's a critical concern, particularly as more and more of the critical infrastructure is digitized and becomes online. This is even, multiplied by, you know, orders of magnitude when you introduce IoT into this infrastructure. And it really has to be fully secure. Like I said, orders of magnitude greater increase in the vulnerabilities to cyber attacks. And governments around the world have recognized that IoT security must be a priority. I mentioned a number of the standards or recommendations or guidance around the world, in the UK, US, elsewhere. In the US, the IoT Cybersecurity Act of 2020 gives the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, the authority to manage IoT cybersecurity risks for devices acquired by the federal government. And they've developed cybersecurity related guidance that is device neutral and highly applicable to all IoT devices. In Europe, the EU Cybersecurity Act was passed in June of 2019, and the General Data Protection Regulation, GDPR, which you, I'm sure you're familiar with, for consumer privacy, was passed in May of 2018. Both are now law in EU and UK. And globally, this patchwork of regulations are currently vaguely defined with no clear guidance for certification of compliance. What OCF does is provides the framework for hardened and more secure IoT ecosystem globally, with devices and services built on this framework guaranteed to be secure and interoperable across IoT. As mentioned before, the OFC standard is being adopted as an national standard in countries such as India, Korea, and deployments, like I mentioned, Korean LH, CATS, the Korean Agency for Technology and Standards, and which is installing OCF as a testbed for assessing the security and privacy of IoT devices. Other governments, such as those in US, UK, and Europe, can see this adoption as proof point, which demonstrates the benefits of OCF being adopted as a national standard.
That's a wonderful insight, Ralph. Thank you so much. So that brings us to the end of our conversation today. I really appreciate your time, Ralph. It's wonderful to gain the insights of such an experienced expert such as yourself in this area. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you'd like to learn more about OCF and OCF's ISO IEC adopted specifications and our strategic roadmap and current deployments, come visit our website and follow us on social media.